15. Hayden. Hayden went down to the next floor, the lab, throwing the stairwell door open so hard it tore from its hinges and hit the ground with an echoing clang. Nat! Hayden cried. Still in his hand, the strip of bloody cloth from Ginny's dress was the only thing he could think about, the only thing he could see. His mind panicked. The reality of the situation was finally setting in. He and Natalia had lived in this environment for almost 2 years. They had excelled where so many others had failed, building a community for others and a life for themselves, starting something bigger than both of them. He was the sheriff, the protector, the strong, honorable man who braved the dangers of the world so the innocent didn't suffer, so the unjust were punished and the just were spared. She was an engineer, the governor, a balanced guiding presence who had worked tirelessly for the people of Sanisco and the whole of the United Western Territories. Through her efforts, the power had been restored, along with clean drinking water, enabling the city to grow. She had fixed a number of vehicles that helped transport food from the farms. She had assisted in bringing refineries and factories back online, generating fuel and supplies. And she had taken over for Governor Malcolm after his death without hesitation and complaint, when it was the last job she had ever wanted. And she had done the job well. Not to mention she was a mother and gave an equal amount of energy to that. She didn't sleep at night unless Halia was sleeping. She made sure she was always there when Hal woke up in the morning. She always had time for their little girl, especially when Hayden was away. He never knew how she managed. Fighting trife and chasing thieves and murderers seemed easier than all of the tasks she had taken on and the people she'd helped through all her efforts. Somehow she made it work. And now Sanisco was on the verge of ruin. The city was being ravaged by alien creatures in numbers too great to overcome. His deputies were dead, and Ginny. Nat! Hayden shouted again. His voice was desperate and hopeful, but his heart was sinking. She should have heard him by now. If she were okay, she would have answered. He turned left toward the interlink, sweeping his flashlight across the tables of old computer terminals and displays, all of them dark and lifeless. The area was usually kept warm by the machines, and their absence left a chill in the air that Hayden felt despite his bodysuit. Or maybe his fear was causing him to shiver. He was more scared than he had ever been in his entire life. Even the first time Natalia had disappeared was a distant second. It was more than Natalia this time. It was Halia and Ginny, too. His whole family. And he had already found Salino dead. Heather dead. Who knew how many others? All of the people he wanted to save. Thousands of civilians inside the perimeter walls still out there. Still dying. The flashlight slid from the desks toward the separate area where the interlink rested, the beam running along the floor and over a body before backing up to it. Hayden exhaled sharply, his heart sinking further. Too small to be an adult, he could only think of one child who might have come down here during a crisis. He bowed his head and closed his eyes, the tears beginning to form, each inhale of breath ragged and pained. He remained fixed for a few seconds, gathering the strength to approach the body and confirm his fear. Son of a bitch, he muttered, looking down at Ginny's pale face, forever frozen in shock. She had a revolver in her small hands and a burned hole through her chest, the cloth of her dress singed and stained with blood. It was almost too much for him to look at, and he blinked rapidly and wiped at his eyes to clear the tears. The gun was his clue to what happened. She had come down here looking for Natalia. She had found something else. Instead of, or in addition to. He straightened like a shot, spinning the flashlight back toward the interlink, the light sweeping across the room. It passed over Halia's carriage, resting between Ginny and the back wall of the garage. The small metal cage that housed the device was in pieces, the terminals, electrodes, and goggles gone. Hayden subconscious noted the absence while his attention focused on the carriage. He hurried over to it, his heart still pounding, his head anything but clear. The sunshade was pulled over it, hiding the contents. He reached for it with a quaking hand. The signals from his mind through the control ring rattled enough that the augment paused and moved in fits and starts, threatening to break down altogether. His hand finally made it to the shade. He pushed it back and stared down at Halya's face. She was calm, peaceful. Her eyes were closed. "Hal," Hayden said, reaching down and stroking her cheek. He continued staring at her. She was pale. Too pale. And cold. Too cold. "Hal," he said again, the world continuing to collapse around him. His whole body went numb. His mind lost any ability to think, to reason, to focus. Everything was happening at once. Nothing was happening at all. He was suddenly lost in the moment, but it was more than his brain could take. His legs failed him. He dropped backward, losing sight of Halya. He lowered his face into his hands, cold metal hands. He had never touched his daughter with real flesh and blood fingers. In the entire time she had known him, he had never been whole. He would never be whole again. The tears ran freely, but he didn't cry. He couldn't find the strength for it. Time seemed to stand still, holding him in the grip of agony. He could only imagine how Natalia would react when he told her their little girl was dead. Natalia. It was her name that brought him back from the edge of the abyss, her name that enabled him to breathe. He stifled a wail he didn't know he was emitting, his head whipping back to where the interlink had once sat. He couldn't see anything. He had dropped the flashlight, and it had come to rest facing the stack of equipment used to partition the interlink from the equipment Dr. Hess had set up to research the Koron. The crates and boxes were in shambles, the partition half collapsed. On the floor, only a pair of legs visible in the mess. Hayden recognized the boots instantly. He didn't think his heart could break any more than it already had, but it did. When he and Natalia had decided to stay on Earth, to challenge both the Trife and the notion that the planet was populated by devolved savages, they had always known there was a good chance one or both of them would die sooner rather than later. The risks were too high, the dangers too numerous. But Hayden had always been convinced it would be him. He was the one going out to destroy nests. He was the one hunting criminals. He was the one facing down killer people and killer aliens. She was supposed to be safe at home. Safe with Halya and Ginny. Untouchable. And now she was dead. He crawled to her on his hands and knees. Nothing made sense anymore. The universe was illogical, random, and unfair. He had gone through so much to find her. He had given up both his arms to keep her safe. He had become everything he was because of her faith, her hope, and love. She had made mistakes. They had both made mistakes. But they had forgiven one another and become stronger for it. He shoved aside a crate that had fallen on her chest. Her expression was twisted and pained, though there was no sign of damage to her body. Dirt and grease coated her fingers and clumped under her nails. The axon had killed her with a trick of the mind instead of a blast of energy. The result was the same. "Oh, Nat," Hayden said, tears running freely. He reached under her, scooping her up and holding her tight in his arms, sobbing into her neck. "Oh, Nat, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me." He knew it wouldn't help. She was already gone. But he wanted her back more than he had ever wanted anything before. Even if only for a second to look into her eyes long enough to tell her how much he loved her. To say goodbye. "I'm sorry," he said, the pain racking every inch of his body and soul. "I'm so sorry. I should have been there. I should have stopped this. I should have known." He let out a soul-crushing wail that started as dull emptiness, transforming as it continued. Too much. It was all too much. There was no more time, no more space, only the moment, only the pain. He didn't know how long it lasted. He had no concept of reality. and then the glowing embers of anger slowly began to fuel a fire. He lowered Natalia back to the ground, eyes narrowing as he stared at her corpse. His hands clenched, his body tensing as he looked at her, and then over at Halya's carriage. The wailing faded, the sobbing faded, the tears dried up. The hurt remained, but it found a new place inside him. A new purpose. A new strength began to rise from the ashes of his misery, burning white hot. He had thought he lost Natalia once before, and the not knowing had nearly driven him mad. This time she was lost to him for certain, and a different madness was taking hold. This time, vengeance would be his.